Hi. Now let's try it.
Full of coffee. It might be a little spoonful of tea. Well, whatever kind of little spoonful you want to hand on over to me, sweet thing. It's got to satisfy me. Oh, spoonful of silver, and it might be a little spoonful of gold. Well, what is the kind of sweet little spoonful you want to hand on over to me? I taste this, that tastes good, baby. It's got to satisfy my soul, and you know that I. Put you out into the desert sand, but you know, baby, I wanna save you too. Yeah. I wanna save you from some other man. You know, if I wasn't a pacifist, baby, I'd take my 45, and I'd shoot him down. I'm gonna shoot down the other man. Shoot down the other man.
Shit, I wasn't even thinking that was a drug song. That was from Honey Pot Volume 7. That was the Stone Foxes. And this is the sound of corporate America for you all, for your listening enjoyment. This is commercial radio. Oh, sorry about that. Here we go. And this is the Cossacks dance. Thank you. you guys. Hey, I just found this really good article in the paper. I don't read the paper enough, truly. It's a good thing that I'm here because I get a chance to get caught up a little bit. And I found this article, column one article from Saturday's Times. I don't know, maybe you read it, maybe you had a chance to, but if you didn't, well, here's an opportunity for me to read it to you. It's called Capturing Japan's Pain in 17 Syllables. The nation's disasters have stirred haiku aficionados to put brush to scroll and finger to keyboard. This is from Julie McKinnon, reporting from Tokyo. About the nuclear power plant, too much detail I hear, such unhappiness. First the ground shook, then the sea swallowed the land, fires raged, lights went out, invisible menaces seeped into the air, the water, the soil. Tears flowed, and headlines blared tales of tragedy, sorrow and fear. All the words of the world, perhaps, could not capture the enormity of it all. Amid the cacophony of news bulletins and tweets and cell phone alerts registering yet another aftershock, Yoshikatsu Kurota quietly sent out his brief verse. It was published Thursday in small type on page 14 of the mass circulation Asahi Daily, in the corner that Japan's newspapers still devote to such poetic endeavors. Tossed like a pebble into a lake, it made not a splash but a gentle ripple. 17 Japanese syllables radiating out into the universe, perhaps touching a few other distressed souls adrift in the chaos. Mere trifle to some. Excuse me while I look on page 11. A quintessence of Japan to others, maligned and beloved, the haiku endures. In these heartsick times, aficionados of the form, both here and abroad, have been stirred to put brush to scroll, pen to postcard, fingers to keyboard, meshing the ancient and the modern, the sublime and the horrific. It's safe, but, they say over and over, that's worrisome. That was a haiku, okay? Tadashi Nishimura's lament, which, like most here, were written in Japanese and have been translated from the original 17 syllables, appeared alongside Kurota's in the pages of the Asahi. The poem distills his anxiety about officials' frequent reassurances that all is fine, even as they warn day in and out about vegetables, milk, and water contaminated by radiation from the stricken nuclear power plant in Fukushima Prefecture. The two men's compositions are technically senryu, which follow the same syllabic rules as haiku, but are typically more social commentary than, say, musings on natural phenomena, such as the ephemeral beauty of a cherry blossom. In a culture that can seem unacquainted with sarcasm, senryu can range from mildly chiding to strikingly acerbic. Kunio Kataoka's submission registered his scorn for a Japanese bank whose ATM network was hobbled for days after the quake, making it difficult for victims to get much-needed cash. His is, "We earnestly make donations, but the bank says, don't use our system." Though the march of modernity has perhaps shrunk the number of regular haikuists in Japan, it has also expanded their options for airing the verses. Besides the newspaper, there are a multitude of haiku blogs, and Twitter has become a popular forum for the pint-sized poems. Still, there is a loyal following for haiku magazines, such as Hototoguisu, which dates to the late 1800s and whose title means cuckoo. Yasuharo Yu, 78, a Buddhist monk from the Shin sect who leads Kyoto's Higashi Hongan Temple. Oh, who the fuck is this? Oh, thank you. Has been composing haiku since he was in high school. when a large earthquake rocked his native Niigata in October 2004. He dove under a futon as furniture and light fixtures crashed down around him. Driven out into the frigid night, beset by unease, the haiku came to him. It's cold and wet, camping outdoors, aftershocks multiplying the misery. The poem spread, and residents' response to it was so powerful that the haiku was eventually carved into a memorial stone in the city. It's cold and wet, camping outdoors, aftershocks multiplying the misery. In the wake of this month's tragedy, you composed something of a follow-up to his 2004 sensation, which Hoto Togusu accepted for its latest issue. Day of disaster, I can never forget the cold and wet. Seems to be a theme. The poet Takahama Kiyoshi said haiku should be a record of daily life. Yu explained, it is not just for enjoyment. Recording the tragedy of the earthquake in verse is also important. Haiku has among its devotees not only men of letters, but men of science, some of them experts in the fields that have wreaked such havoc in Japan in recent days. The head of the Tokyo-based Haiku International Association, Akito Arima, is a nuclear physicist who served as president of Tokyo University, the nation's most prestigious institute of higher education. Former Kyoto University president Kazuo Oiki, a seismologist, is another practitioner. I am a scientist by vocation, and so looking at nature with this eye can bring new meaning to poetry, Oiki wrote in an email. Though he said he planned to bide his time before composing a new haiku, in the last two decades, he often has been inspired by nature's fury. Okay, so here's one. The big tsunami scattering as far as here, a cloud of seabirds, boats, cars, houses, and people in the flow, western wind. David McMurray, a professor at the International University of Kagoshima, who edits the Asahi newspaper's biweekly English poetry feature, Asahi Haikuist Network, that is www.asahi.com/English/haiku, has been sorting through submissions for his April 1 edition. In normal times, he gets about 100 contributions a day via email, fax, and even old-fashioned post. This month's tragedy, however, has brought him a wealth of new voices. People write about death, love, war, anything that's very important, said McMurray, a Canadian. Poetry is for catharsis, right? Some contributors, McMurray said, include short explanations of their compositions. Raj Bose of Honolulu had to wait 3 days to get word that his son in Japan was safe. At last, a brief message came to his inbox. This one goes, Daddy, I'm fine. Time's stopping and restarting. Email from Tokyo. A contributor from Los Angeles, Stephen J. DeGuire, paid homage to Matsuo Basho, a 17th century haiku virtuoso whose masterwork, The Narrow Road to the Deep North, was inspired by his treks in the area ravaged by the March 11 disaster. Basho's road throughout Tohoku, hope remains. Typically, a haiku will include a special word or phrase called a kigo that signals what season the poem is about. One such phrase is spring sea, which this year poets are appropriating to signify the tsunami. A regular contributor who goes by the pen name Murasagi Sagano wrote McMurray to say her mother had died 5 days after the tsunami. Mother's pain into the spring sea, her last sleep. Julie McKinnon, Julie.McKinnon, M-A-K-I-N-E-N, at LATimes.com. Special correspondent Hikari Uchiyama in Tokyo contributed to this report. Back to the music.
this morning on the wrong side of the bed. And now I've got to thinking about all those things you said. About all the different people and how to make you sick. And if calling names kicks back on you, then I hope this does the trick. But I'm sick of your complaining about how many meals. I'm sick of all your bitching about your poodles in your field. And I just can't see no humor about your way of life. I think I can do more for you if you see a fucking night.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Here
wherever.
Before we go farther, I just because this is the Not So Shy John news program, I wanted to keep you abreast of the latest news here. Found this also in the Saturday paper. This on the obituaries page, unfortunately, but I don't know. Interesting news nonetheless. California briefing: La Mesa, man accused in plan to kill daughter's boyfriend. Police in San Diego County have arrested a man accused of trying to hire someone to kill his daughter's boyfriend. Police detectives arrested Domingos Oliveira, 50, of Spring Valley after serving a search warrant at his home, authorities said. He was booked on suspicion of solicitation for murder, according to a La Mesa police statement. The statement added that Oliveira allegedly made a reward poster with a photo and name of the daughter's boyfriend and an offer to pay $3,000. The man was booked into the San Diego County Jail. Anyone with more information is asked to call La Mesa Police at 888-580-8477. This by Shelby Grad. Now, this other piece, I saw it in the news last night. I saw it without the sound on, so I didn't catch all of it. But this is just completely creepy. I mean, people wonder why there are people who are paranoid of clowns, right? This whole thing about clown arrested on suspicion of rape. Richard Winton, a professional clown, was arrested Friday on suspicion of kidnapping and raping a girl 9 years ago in Fullerton. Jose Guadalupe Jimenez, 41, of Anaheim, was arrested in connection with the January 19th, 2002 crimes in which a man dressed as a clown kidnapped and raped a 12-year-old girl. The suspect grabbed the girl from the corner of Lemon Street and Commonwealth Avenue, drove her to a nearby school parking lot, and raped her, said Sergeant Andrew Goodrich of the Fullerton Police Department. The man then took her to a motel off Harbor Boulevard and molested her again. The girl escaped when he left the car to speak with the motel clerk. When the police conducted their original investigation, the only physical description was of a male Latino wearing a clown mask and clown makeup. Forensic experts collected DNA from the girl, and it was eventually placed in the state database awaiting a possible match. Goodrich said Jimenez was arrested in 2010 on other charges, and his DNA was submitted to the database. Detectives learned last month that they had a hit, confirming that Jimenez was the suspect in the 2002 case. Jimenez was arrested in Newport Beach. He'd been working as a professional clown for 9 years using the name El Teen Larin. He is 5'6" and weighs 195 pounds and has brown hair and eyes. Who knows how many other possible victims there might be, Goodrich said. We're hoping that any past victims might recognize him with or without his clown makeup and come forward. Police are asking anyone with information to call Detective Catherine Hamill at 714-738-5327. Or the Fullerton Police Department at 714-738-6800. Richard Winton, richard.winton at latimes.com. Oh, this is just deplorable, people. Deplorable. Anyway, okay, on to Alan Watts, okay?
Wherever the human organism gets into a certain kind of extreme, it starts an oscillating process going. Just as it does in sexual orgasm. And that oscillating process will inspire in others an emotion which they cannot identify either as disgust or as lust. They don't know quite what it is. All those extreme situations, terror, and as we shall see more, response to pain, have an orgiastic quality. And they are therefore embarrassing because they conflict with our image of ourselves as in control, composed. Deported. That's in the sense of deportment. But it would be shameful, in a way. You might not want to look at your own face in a state of complete sexual rapture. As a matter of fact, if you saw a photograph of your face, you wouldn't be able to tell whether you were in pleasure or in pain. It might be either.
Oh, yeah, you would.
Because then, you see, what has happened is that a tide, a vibration, a pulsation, has taken over the whole being. So that you are, as it were, in the possession of a god. And that's something taboo. So we begin here to move into a very difficult area. Because a lot of people were beginning to say, this conversation is getting out of line because we're moving into what are normally called perverse experiences. And the two critical forms of perverse experience are sadism and masochism. where there is the association of pain and ecstasy. In sadism, the confusion of another person's suffering with that person's sexual orgasm. In masochism, the identification, or if you want to say confusion, of your own suffering with sexual orgasm. Now we say, well, that's pathological, that's absurd. But it exists. People do it all the time, both ways, and sometimes both together. And although this is generally put under the heading of pathology, the fact remains that we can still learn something from it. There's an important principle in there, somehow, somewhere. And perhaps in people who are sadists and masochists, the phenomenon is somehow out of hand because they don't understand the principle. Now, do you realize many sadists want nothing more than that their victim should enjoy the pain? The combination sadist and masochist is perfect. And many sadists would be quite reluctant if the victim really didn't like participating in this at all. And so there's the joke of the masochist asking the sadist to beat him, and he says, I won't. But what happens here is that pain and the attendant convulsive behavior of the organism is associated with the erotic.
He's talking dirty, isn't he?
A different value is given to the same symptoms, as, say, it is common in France.
I can't tell.
A young woman really aroused, you know? And she will say, Timma, Timma, kill me, kill me. As if to know, to go as far as you can in throwing yourself away to somebody else. You know, do anything you want to. And in that abandon, you see, there is the possibility that this, an undulation of feeling.
I think that's a bit of a stretch,
total
don't you?
Feeling may take over. And in that feeling, you see, you are one with what is happening completely.
Not very often.
And that's what everybody, as it were, finally aspires to. So, therefore, the masochist in particular is a person who has learned throughout life to defend himself against pain by eroticizing pain.
Hmm.
Now, do you understand how, therefore, different valuations can be put on one and the same vibration?
No.
One of those nights when I was feeling good, my baby was looking, yeah, just like she should. We went to the bar without a gin, but when I turned around, she was at it again, giving head in the corner to my best friend. Now, honey, I can't take it. This is your end. And now that you had your fun, honey, well, I had about all I could take. So I beat her with a rake and made a bit of a mistake. Beat her with a rake and made a bit of a mistake. Beat her with a rake and made a bit of a mistake. Beat her with a rake and made a bit of a mistake. needed to drag her right out of the bar. I dragged her on the concrete. I threw her into the car. And I drove the bitch home. And I beat her again. Oh, and I can't take it. And this wrecked your head. I ain't never had fun with you. In fact, I had about all I could take. So I beat her with a rake and made a paper on my stick. Beat her with a rake and made a paper on my stick. Beat her with a rake and made a paper on my stick. Beat her with a rake and made a paper on my stick. Woman was evil. She had no respect. And I know I did the right thing when I beat her dead. 'Cause no bitch of mine gives out free head. And now that you had your fun, woman, well, you know I had over all I could take. So I beat her with a rake and made a paper mistake. Beat her with a rake and made a paper mistake. Beat her with a rake and made a paper mistake. Beat her with a rake and made a paper mistake. Ah, beat her with a rake. 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 Ah, beat her with a rake. Beat her with a rake. Beat her with a rake. Ah, beat her with a rake.
Tell me when you're ready.
Oh, hold the phone. Wait a minute. Here, let me just throw this in real quick. Here, this is a little shorty short here. Malibu remains found in crashed truck. Los Angeles County coroner's investigators were working Friday to identify skeletal remains found in a pickup truck that apparently plunged down a Malibu ravine into heavy brush. The remains were discovered about 2 p.m. Thursday in a ravine below the 4400 block of Encinal Canyon Road, said Ed Winter of the coroner's office. They were 200 to 300 feet down in a vehicle in heavy brush, Winter said. Investigators recovered identification from the vehicle but have been unable to make a positive identification. Anybody you know disappear?
I didn't realize the irony of this song here, but...
It's raining men.
This is dedicated to all the women running ads on Craigslist, okay?
This is the song that I'm a rap about. It's called That I'm Sorry That I Got Fat, I Will Slim Down. This is the song that is reminding me that I'm fixing to lose weight and go on a strict diet.
He's dead, by the way.
The first time when I got fat, I was eating those fatty hamburgers, fries, and all that. That's what I'm going to do something about it right now. And this is the song that I just wrote about. I'm sorry that I got fat, I was slim down. So here it goes right now. Before I got fat, I was slim. That was this time when I was eating McDonald's. I kept eating McDonald's for 5 years, from 1987 to 1991. That's when I became fat. A year later, I'm doing something about it.
Satellite, if you ever see me move through the night, aim get me wrong, ain't gonna do you no harm.
No.
This bomb's for loving, and you can shoot it far. I'm your main target, come and help me ignite.
Ow!
Love struggle holding you tight.
Hold me tight, dog.
Make me explode, although you know the route to go to sex me slow. And yes, I must react to claims of those who say that you are not all. Sex bomb, sex bomb.
Well,
you're my sex bomb. You can give it to me when I need to come along. Sex bomb, sex bomb.
Yeah.
You're my sex bomb. Oh. And baby, you can turn me on.
Turn me on, dog.
Sex bomb, sex bomb. You're my sex bomb.
Sex bomb.
And you can give it to me when I need to come along. Sex bomb, sex bomb. You're my sex bomb. And baby, you can turn me on. You can keep me more and more, counting up a score.
Yeah.
You can turn me upside down and inside. You can make me feel the real deal.
Uh-huh.
And I can give it to you anytime because you're mine.
Ow!
Ouch.
Sex bomb. Oh, baby.
Sex bomb, sex bomb.
Huh.
You're my sex bomb. And you can give it to me when I need to be turned on.
No,
sex
no.
bomb, sex bomb.
Well,
you're my sex bomb. And baby, you can turn me on. Turn me on. And baby, you can turn me on.
Turn me on.
Baby, you can turn me on.
Turn
ladies and gentlemen, hold on, hold the show, stop, wait. I'm going to end part one right here so that this doesn't go on over long. Try to make a reasonably sized podcast this time. So this will be the end of part one. Here we go. Wait. Is it going to go? No. Okay, goodbye.